When the chopping and feeding were completed, the Baron waved the crowd back down to the ville. As they began to move, he cut overland, climbing over some fallen blocks of stone. Kerr had a goal in mind, if not an exact plan. He made for the edge of one of the deepest of the hillside's potholes, a circular opening more than 30 feet across. When he reached his destination, he stopped, picked up a rock from the ground at his feet, and dropped it into the hole. It took 7 seconds for the stone to splash. The blackness below promised what he sought, true and eternal oblivion. If he stepped off the edge, there was no way his body could be recovered and turned into fish food. And even though the filaments of the pool probably decorated the walls of the yawning cavern, they couldn't dine on his corpse. The tendrils had no feeding apparatus. They were the fungi's fruiting bodies, whose only function was to produce beauty. The Baron stood on the edge, poised to end his life, but he didn't take the fatal step. He couldn't take it. His legs just would not move forward.
Shit!
You've got a pretty sweet operation going for yourself here.
The Baron turned and faced Redcoat, who was smiling in a most unfriendly way.
Maybe it's too much for you to handle.
Krekka moved closer. He reached up and scratched at his scraggly red goatee.
Maybe you need a partner.
Nope. I don't need a partner.
Redcoat got within arm's reach. The pool forced his body to shift to the right. Redcoat countered. And when he did that, the Baron had no place left to retreat. His heels were a foot from the edge of the pothole.
How about a hostile takeover, then?
Kerr smiled. The broadest, most infuriating smile he could muster. It was almost over. Redcoat's arms came up, and the heels of his hands slammed into the Baron's chest. As he went off balance, the pool made him flap his arms to try to regain it, but the push was too hard. James Kerr went over backward, somersaulting into the blackness.
God bless you!
Krekka stood on the rim of the pothole and listened as the echoes of Baron Kerr's final cry and splashdown faded away.
God bless you. What an asshole.
He broke into a celebration dance, loosely adapted from Jackson's routine. Now nothing stood between him and the Baronship. Nothing.
I am Baron Magnificent Krekka!
He liked the sound of that. It was an announcement to the world, a taunt to his newly dead predecessor, and a self-coronation. The triumphant Baron Magnificent Krekka no longer had a human, or rather half-human, overlord he had to answer to. No more Magus. No one to be afraid of. No one he had to hand over the lion's share of the spoils to. The pool had shown him his true mission. His entire life, he had been waiting for and working toward this very end. He peered into the darkness of the pothole and couldn't see the bottom. It angered him that the former Baron's corpse was lost to harvest because the pool was still very hungry. Even with his eyes averted, Krekka could sense its lingering agitation. A prickling sensation on the back of his neck. A faint fluttering in the pit of his stomach. Without looking, he knew a mist was starting to rise, and mixed in were twinkling bits of silver confetti. Another sporefall wouldn't be long in coming. Krekka knew the pool's unappeased appetite had to do with its having been starved for weeks. He also knew that the previous Baron had allowed the Ville's human population to slowly dwindle to basically nothing. Of late, Kerr hadn't been doing a good job at recruiting new residents, and he had phased out sacrificing the people that were here. It was almost as though he'd wanted the pool to suffer. That was all going to change now. When the new Baron looked back to the trail, he saw the crowd had gone on without him and was almost at the bottom of the hill. The evening light was turning purple and beginning to fade into night. He traversed the blocks and circled the slope's yawning pitfalls, regaining the crude road and descending it at a trot. He caught up with the others shortly after they had reached the square. Azimuth was standing behind the burn barrel, busy cooking the fresh bounty. Flames leapt from the barrel as he rolled the gray globs into position on the grate with a block of wood. The crowd stood in a long, orderly line, waiting for the meal to be handed out. They would have to wait a little bit longer. The pool demanded to be fed first. The former carny master picked up the iron pipe and stepped onto the clobbering chair's seat.
Listen up! Listen up! Baron Kerr is dead. I have been chosen to be the new Baron of this spectacular metropolis.
There was no reaction from the crowd. No groans of shock or sadness upon hearing of the old Baron's demise. No cheers or applause at the announcement of a new leader to take his place. Their smiles were the same before and after the announcement. Krekka wondered if the information he'd just imparted had even penetrated their spore and bounty-addled brains.
The body is not satisfied. The body needs more. Who would like to volunteer?
Everyone, it seemed. The food line broke up, and its members encircled the clobbering chair. Azimuth left a clutch of bounty to burn to cinders on the grill, threw down his block of wood, and joined them.
You, Azimuth, come over here and take a load off.
It would be my pleasure.
Krekka hopped from the chair, making room for Azimuth to take his seat. As the big man sat down, the new Baron rounded the back of the chair and got into position for the clobbering. Some of the Rousties rushed in to buckle down the wrist and ankle straps.
I never thought I'd ever get to sit in with you, my brother. It's my biggest dream come true. I'm so honored. Jamming with Bob Marley. Daniel!
Krekka gripped the length of pipe like a baseball bat, though it was much heavier. And when he took a practice cut with it, the thing whistled through the air and slammed into the dirt. Krekka swung from the soles of his boots, putting the full weight of his body behind the blow.
Let's get together and feel alright.
The impact jolted up his arms and deep into his shoulder joints. Baron Magnificent Krekka stepped nimbly aside as blood from the massive scalp wound jetted in a fine spray 3 feet in the air. Azimuth's body convulsed violently. It jerked so hard that it set the chair rocking, then tipped it over sideways. Both the chair and the body hit the ground in a cloud of dust. For a long moment, the unconscious black man spasmed in the dirt. Then, Azimuth's eyes popped open. He started frantically fighting against the chair straps. Krekka moved forward and hit him again. And again. It took a half dozen full power blows at the pipe to dispatch the huge man. By the time it was over, his head was an undistinguishable mass of shattered bone, brains, and dreads. The former carny master lowered his head and leaned on the handle of the pipe for a couple of minutes. He was the only one in the audience who was resting. His Rousties unfastened the straps holding down the scout's body, then lifted the corpse and dumped it into the cart. When he'd recovered his breath, Krekka bent, grabbed the fallen chair by an arm, and set it upright. Azimuth was a big man, but he wasn't quite big enough to fill the pool's requirements.
Who's next?
The crowd edged closer. Everyone wanted to be next. Krekka's glance swept past, then returned to Ryan Cotter's young son. He was just the right size.